Thank you for being here tonight. And we're going to continue our study entitled Questions and Answers. And, you know, as we witness for the Lord, people will ask questions. And I'm sure you found it to be true that most people ask the same questions. And that helps us as witnesses, because as we prepare to give an answer, we can look at the questions people ask and just have answers available in our heart and in our mind and in our hand to share with them. Acts chapter 1, I'd like to just to start there tonight, just with a thought. Acts chapter number 1, and I hope everyone's got a handout tonight. These lessons will build on each other. And we're looking at the subject of the Bible. Acts chapter number 1, notice verses 1 to 3. As the writer gives his introduction, the Bible says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen," notice verse 3, "to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So verse 3 tells us the Lord showed himself alive, in verse 3, after his passion by many infallible proofs. That word infallible means factual, real, provable, proves. So the Lord, when we speak about our faith, we're not talking about a faith that is a blind leap in the dark, are we? Our faith is based upon fact. Our faith is based upon many infallible proofs. And so when someone asks you, you know, how can you prove the Bible is the Word of God? We do have some proofs. We do have some evidences. Of course, ultimately, it is by faith, but our faith is founded upon fact. Our faith is founded upon reality. The religions of the world, their faith is founded upon lies, upon fantasy. Our faith is founded upon truth, the Word of God. So tonight we are going to continue to look at the proofs of the Bible. When someone asks you, how can you prove the Bible is the Word of God? Well, what can we say to that? We've had a couple of lessons on this already. If you've missed out on any, let me know. I do collect the handouts, so I've always got them in my folder. If you would like to grab one, if you didn't get one last week, let me know. But tonight, we're going to look at one thought, first of all, which is the Bible's indestructibility. The Bible's indestructibility. It's a big word. If you need to know how to spell it, it's on the back page at the bottom. You can thank me later. The Bible's indestructibility proves that it is the Word of God. Have you ever thought about the fact that the Bible is an indestructible book? It cannot be destroyed. You know, it's an amazing book that we hold in our hands, the Word of God. The Bible is indestructible. And, you know, people don't often think about that. But the reality is, throughout the history of mankind, this has been the most hated, the most rejected, the most reviled, criticized, banned book, sought out to destroy book in the history of mankind, and it is still available today. Not only is it available today, but it is the world's number one best-selling book. And that fact tells us something, that there is a divine protection upon this book. God's hand is in it because of the history. And I'll put some facts in there from Brother David Cloud's apologetics notes. Again, I'll just keep crediting him. He's put together an apologetic series called Unshakable Faith. And these are some thoughts, just some points that he puts in his notes, some facts that the Bible has been attacked down throughout history. There in your notes, you'll see that AD 303, so that's the first 300 years of the Bible being in existence. We know it was put together within the first 100 years. So 200 years after that, the Roman emperor at the time, Diocletian, issued an edict to stop Christians from worshipping Jesus Christ and to destroy their scriptures. Now remember, we're not just talking about the city of Rome. We're talking about the entire Roman Empire. And what was the Roman Empire? The Roman Empire was the known world. I mean, they ruled the known world. Can you imagine an edict being put out to not only stop Christians from worshipping Christ, but to destroy the Word of God, to destroy the Bible? And every official in the empire was ordered to destroy churches and burn the scriptures they found. But 25 years later, Constantine came to the emperor, and he ordered an edict for Bibles to be published. Now we know Constantine wasn't a Bible believing Christian. He wasn't saved. But see how God turned the tables, you know. And even if you don't even mention Constantine, the Bible's still around today. They could not destroy the Word of God. They could hunt down Christians. They could destroy what they found in their hands, but they still could not destroy God's Word. In 1778, you remember the French famous infidel author Voltaire boasted that within 100 years, Christianity would be destroyed. And yet Voltaire is dead, and the Bible's still around. And in fact, his home, remember, was converted into a printing press, a building for a printing press for the Geneva Bible Institute. And you see, the Lord knows, and the Lord is able to preserve His Word, yet the Bible's attacked. Indestructibility. The communist regimes in Russia and China have tried to destroy the Bible, tried to destroy Christianity, yet what do we find today? We find Christianity flourishing in Russia. We find Christianity flourishing in China. In fact, those who want the Bible in China, there are not enough printing presses to print the Bible for those who want them. And that's in communist China, communist Russia. You see, the Bible is indestructible. The Bible cannot be removed from the world, even when man tries and attempts his best effort. So there's some information there on the first page that might be good to just store away and have in your little toolkit of facts. One amazing fact is this, that many who criticize the Bible and looked into the facts of the account of Jesus Christ, His resurrection, the facts of the Bible, like we're looking into tonight, have in fact been converted. They've become born-again Christians that have written books that the Bible is true. Notice there in your notes, Gilbert West, one of the most eminent English poets, while a student at Oxford, set out to debunk the Bible's account of Christ's resurrection. Instead, he proved to his own satisfaction that Christ did rise from the dead and published a book called Observations on the History and Evidences of the Resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he looked into it, looked into all the historical, archaeological, biblical facts, and what happened? He got saved. Amazing. Amazing real-life testimonies. Simon Greenleaf, a royal professor of law at Harvard University, one of the most celebrated legal minds of America, determined to expose the myth of the resurrection of Christ once and for all, but his thorough examination forced him to conclude that Jesus did rise from the dead. And as a lawyer, he looked at all the evidences, what took place at the tomb, the eyewitness evidences, the evidences that the body could not be found, things that we've learnt here at church. He looked at all the evidence from a legal point of view, and then he published a book titled An Examination of the Testimony of Four Evangelists by the Rules of Evidence Administered in the Courts of Justice. And by legal means, he came to the truth and realized that Christ is the Lord and did rise from the dead. Why does man hate the Bible? Because man hates God. Yeah. But as soon as man looks into the Bible, he's led down a path that leads to salvation. So if anyone asks you, how do you know that this is the Word of God? You can say, tell them, well, there's no book that's been hated more. You know? No book that's been hated more. Hey, the Quran's not hated today. Some people might think it. Not allowed to say it. You know? People aren't out destroying the Quran, are they? Burning it on the streets? Absolutely not. It's not a book that has sought out to be destroyed. Not at all. But what book has been? Not the Hindu scriptures. Sorry. Not the Hindu scriptures. Not the Buddhist writings. Not at all. Which book is under attack? And it has been ferociously throughout history. And yet what do we find? The Bible is the most popular book today. So that might catch someone's attention. They might start to think, never thought of that before. All right, here's another answer to that question. How do we know the Bible's the Word of God? The Bible's honesty proves it. The Bible's honesty. Not only is the Bible an indestructible book, but it is a truthful and honest book. A truthful and honest book. There in your notes, Psalm 33 and verse 4, your blank is the word honesty. The Bible's honesty proves it. Psalm 33 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." So his word is the truth. How do we know it's the truth? Well, the Bible contains a record of the lives of many of those that we know to be heroes of the faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, lives of those who have been respected and revered greatly by the Jewish people and us as Christians today. And if men were to write about themselves, we know God used men to write the Bible, but if they were to write about themselves, what would men naturally do? They would leave out the bad things and put in the good things. Even today when people write biographies of themselves, they might put in a few of the shady things, but not all the truth. Not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. No, what would we do? We would whitewash the bad stuff and put in the good stuff. But interestingly, in the Bible, we don't find that. We find that those whose lives are described to us are described to us in the good and the bad. The Bible tells us, for example, of Adam's fall into sin. The Bible tells us about Noah's drunkenness, the great hero of the faith, Noah. When you think about Noah, what do you think of? The ark. The great triumph of faith in the ark, but then we don't often think about his drunkenness. God puts that in there to show us that he was just a man. He had great moments of faith, but he was still just a man. Lessons to be learned, of course, but the Bible says, you know, Moses, when he struck the rock, amazing. Amazing that God would put that in there. And you know what's more amazing? Who wrote the first five books of the Bible? Moses. Can you imagine? As Moses was writing the scriptures, he wrote down the very account of him sinning against the Lord. And because of that, God's saying, no, you're not going into the promised land. You see, God has revealed that his word is from God, not from man, because man would have cut those bits out of the Bible. We wouldn't know about Lot's fall into sin. We wouldn't know about David's adultery, Solomon's apostasy, Jonah's pity party. Who wrote the book of Jonah? Well, there's Jonah. I'm assuming that the story ended, his life story ended beyond the pity party at the end. But it's an amazing thing. We don't often think about that. People don't often think about it. If someone asks you, how do you know the Bible's the Word of God? Well, it's honesty. You know, it's honesty. You know, we're not hiding the truth about people's lives in the Bible. God isn't either. And if men were to write it, they would leave out their faults. But God has put their faults in there to as another evidence to show us that he is the author, not man. Man was the instrument. God is the author. And we would leave out our failures if we wrote it. So just an interesting thought. Someone asks you questions, you know, about the Bible. It's an amazing book, a supernatural book. That's why we know it's from God. Cannot be destroyed. And it is the absolute truth, the truth of the Word of God. God does not hide the negatives and the positives. Lastly, in your notes, third point, the Bible's scientific accuracy proves the Bible, does it not? The Bible's scientific accuracy. Your blank is the word scientific. 2 Timothy 3:16, you know well by now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. How do you know the Bible is God's Word? Well, there is no other book in the world like the Bible. All religious texts in the world that contain scientific information contain false information that have been proven to be false. For example, in Islam, in their renowned scriptures, They have a record of the Prophet Muhammad's account of what happens to the sun in the evening, and he wrote that the sun sets into a black pool of mud. Now, from an Arabian's perspective in the desert, that's what it would seem like. You can imagine the sun setting in the heat of the desert, and the heat and the sunset mixed together, and the sun would appear that it descends into a black pool of mud. But science has obviously proved that the sun rotates around an axis, and the earth rotates around an axis, and therefore there's day and night, and obviously that is not true. But in many religious texts, there's absolute nonsense. You know, take the Hindu scriptures for example. They state that the moon is 50,000 leagues higher than the sun, and the moon shines by its own very light, just like the sun. Well, does the moon shine by its light? Yes or no? No, it reflects the light of the sun. Night is caused by the sun setting behind a huge mountain, the Hindu scriptures say, several thousand feet high, located in the middle of the earth, and the whole mass is born on the heads of countless elephants, and when the elephants shake, that's what produces earthquakes on the earth. Now, there's already 6 scientific errors in the Hindu scriptures. Now, no offense, but science, real true science, has proved Hindu scriptures to be false. The earth is not carried by giant elephants. Now, why is the Bible any different? Well, out of the 66 books in the Bible, when the Bible mentions a scientific fact, it has been proven to be true. The Bible is not a science textbook, but every scientific statement in the Bible is factual, is truthful. There are no scientific errors in the Bible. Now, I've given you a link to the Answers book, Liberty Baptist Church. Has anyone gone there yet to download anything? You've got the book. Amen. Well, if you go there, there's a PDF of many, many scientific proofs of the Bible. I've just given you 3 in the notes. God has declared scientific truths in the Bible hundreds and even thousands of years before scientists had discovered it. For example, the earth is round. Notice what Proverbs 8:27 says. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. So there we see the word compass. Notice Isaiah 40:22. It is he that sitteth upon the what?
Circle.
The circle of the earth. So the Bible tells us that the earth is what shape? Circular. It's a circle. It's not flat. Now, do you remember in history, teenagers, learning that at one time man thought the earth was flat? And remember how they feared sailing off the edge of it? Remember how Columbus was so brave and everyone admired him because he sailed into the unknown to discover America. And many of the shipmates thought that they would find the edge and the ship would plummet over the edge. You know, even in Columbus's day, they believed that the earth was flat. Now, Magellan sailed around the earth and he came back to where he started. And they found out that the earth was circular. Now, how did the Bible know that the earth was spherical? Hundreds of years before man discovered it, before man fully explored the earth. Well, because God created the earth and he gave us his word, he told us so. It's a very simple, wonderful truth. The earth is round. The earth hangs in space. Notice point number 2. Under answer 3, Job 26:7, he stretcheth the north over the empty place, and he hangeth the earth upon what?
Nothing at all.
Nothing. Now, if you speak to a Hindu, you can say, hey, you know, I've read in your scripture that the Vedas, it says that the earth is born about on the backs of elephants. The Bible says the earth hangs upon nothing. And Job wrote that, over 1,500 BC. That's when the book of Job was written. 1,500 BC. And the Bible says it hangs in nothing, on nothing. What do we know today scientifically? Yes, the earth does not hang on anything. The gravitational forces of the between the sun and the earth causes the earth to to not have to be held up by anything. There are no turtles or elephants or, you know. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but the Bible has told us, you know, 1500 BC. You know, write that date down. It's amazing. A true science proves the Bible to be true. True science proves the Bible to be true. Astronomy has proven the Bible to be true, that God is the creator. And there in your third point, there are paths in the seas. Psalm 8 and verse 8 is a very interesting psalm. And Matthew Morey took it literally. One day he was sick, his son was reading him the Bible, and he read out to him this passage of scripture, paths in the seas. And he said to his son, son, if the Bible says it, then God means it. There must be paths in the seas. And he went out to discover them. And through his investigation, Matthew Morey became the father of modern oceanography. He found the ocean currents and sailing lanes that are used today for world trading that are essential to shipping today. Matthew Morey, you can look him up, Google him. And there's a statue of him in Virginia holding charts of the sea in one hand and the Bible in the other. He discovered the paths of the sea in the ocean currents of the world by simply reading the Bible. He said, paths of the sea. Wow. And as you know, if you've learned a little bit about the ocean, yes, there are currents in the sea. There are paths. And as ships traversing the world go along those paths, they get to their destination sooner, much faster than if they were to cut across, straight across. So these are just some amazing facts that the Bible has declared long before man ever discovered it. As we look at science today and we match it up with what the Bible says, the Bible's always true. And you might like to quickly mention some of these facts when someone says, how do you know the Bible is true? Well, science has proven the Bible to be true. And someone would jump back and say, what do you mean? You know, Richard Dawkins says this statement, and he's a fool, absolute fool. He says that because of those who believe in the Bible and promote the Bible, especially in America, it's holding back the education system, and those who believe the Bible are restricting the scientific progress of the nation. Well, in fact, the Bible has declared scientific truths long before man discovered it. And Matthew Morey found out, you know, a scientific fact because he was reading the Bible. And if we want our children to be educated, well, we need to get more of the Word of God into their life because it is the truth. And science always proves the Bible to be true. True science, of course. You know, not man-made fantasy. True science. So the Bible's scientific accuracy proves it. So God has given us infallible proofs. And I hope that these little truths will give you a little library of help so that when someone asks you, and I know it's hard when they just criticize, but when someone genuinely wants to know, let's be ready to give an answer. When someone genuinely asks a reason of the hope that is in us, I believe that passage is talking about someone who's seeking the truth. Not someone's just yelling at you and criticizing and then slams the door. You know, you'll get those people. But when someone genuinely asks a question and says, well, how do you really know? And there will be times like that. Yep. Let's be ready. Amen. Let's be ready with an answer. And we'll continue to enjoy this series on being more prepared in our witness.